If you've got your Bible with you, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Do something a little different today. As we're thinking about this idea, as the tree, so the fruit. Look with me at God's Word, where it says this, starting in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And notice this, I want to add this in here at verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Church family, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's go to him now and ask for his blessing as we study his word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We agree. We confess and agree with your word that it is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Father, would you, echoing the words of the psalmist, would you now hide these things in our hearts so that we might not sin against you? Father, would you open your word and show us wonderful things. Open our eyes so that we would behold wonderful things from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank one or two people before as we get started this morning. First, I want to thank people like Melody Lee. You know that we partner with Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, and they offer a biblical counseling degree program, and so Melody has been taking part in that. And friends, parents in particular, it should encourage your hearts to know that your Sprouts director is getting a master's in biblical counseling. That's encouraging to my heart, and that's just one person among many of your leaders that are studying to show themselves approved. And I love that. But in the midst of that, we were made known about this opportunity to partake in some additional training. As we've been going through that, we're not done yet. Actually, you're some of my guinea pigs today. Part of my requirements for being in this class is I have to teach it. So, congratulations, here we are. So please bear with me. But as I've been going through this text in particular stood out to me. And friends, I just buckle up. God's word is sharper than any double-edged sword. And the Lord's been doing heart surgery on me this week in the best possible way. And I can't wait to share that with you. So Melody, thank you. I'm thankful for people like Dr. Brad Beavers, who is teaching this class and putting me not only in touch with writers like David Powelson and Paul David Tripp and so many others, authors that we know and love, but also taking us back to people like Thomas Watson and guys who have been dead a long time, yet their voice still speaks because they point us to truth. And so I'm just so thankful for men like him. I'm also thankful for my wife, Chelsea, who, without knowing what she was stepping into, she listened to me read and preach this entire thing and helped me smooth out some rough points. So, Chelsea, thank you. I love you. Thankful for you. Kids, I want to say this to you as we get going. If you look in my church notebook, just inside the front page, you'll see two things. You'll see my worship notes. And I want you to know this here. I'm going to challenge you. Pick one of these words. There's like six words in here. It says, mark each time you hear one of these words. Jesus, tree, fruit, heart, good, bad. Now, if you're particularly, dialed in this morning, try and count all six. If not, pick one. Count them many times. And I would love for you to come and talk with me afterwards and tell me about what words you noticed. So also, you also see a copy of the same handout that I hope everybody else got this morning in your bulletin. But kids, this is the giant print version for you. So you can follow along, fill in the blanks, and we'll all do this together. Amen? Amen. I love Family Sunday. It is good for my family and for our church family to worship the Lord together, not just in singing and doing all these other things, but to worship together in reading and now studying the Word of God, because His Word is worthy to be studied. His glory shines through His Word. This passage in particular is part of what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. It's similar to His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. I'm going to go ahead and do this, because I know I'm going to need it in about 2 seconds. This is tea, by the way, just for the record. It's similar to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we see recorded in Matthew. And I love this idea that Jesus is traveling around and He's teaching a very similar message again and again. And the disciples are getting to hear it. So they hear what Paul talks about to Timothy as a standard of sound words, a reproducible standard. Another disciple-making plug there. Jesus is teaching here in the midst of this. He's teaching about His kingdom. And we defined that before, but let's see if you remember. That God's kingdom is His people in His place under His rule. So He's telling us, really the theme of the whole sermon is, in order for you to be a kingdom citizen, that your heart has to be like the heart of the king. That's it. And so, but the problem with that is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that the heart is deceitful. It's a liar. It's desperately wicked and sick above all things. And who can know it, Jeremiah says. Well, verse 10 tells us the Lord knows the heart. And what I love about this is that the Sermon on the Plain is Jesus taking off His kingly robes and putting on a doctor's scrubs, and He's going to do heart treatment on us. Certainly on His hearers that day, but again, the Holy Spirit is the true and divine author of all Scripture, and so the Lord is at work here today, and I beg you to lean in and to listen. So again, what is the Lord doing? First, He starts out by teaching that His kingdom has boundaries. You see this in the midst of the Beatitudes. He's talking about, He's giving blessings and curses. What He's showing us is that there are boundaries on His kingdom, and there are people that are inside His kingdom that are blessed, even though they suffer, even though they're poor, even though they have nothing, even though they're being persecuted on account of the king, and they're being persecuted and suffering like the king. But Jesus says they're what? They're blessed. Also, there are people that are outside that even though they reject Him, even though they mock Him and they persecute Him and His people, and they may have lots of riches and worldly, what we would call blessings, but Jesus pronounces them as cursed. The question is, what kind of person are you? What kind of person am I? Jesus wisely continues this treatment then, because He wants us to know the answer to this question. So he commands this now. He gives tough, very tough commands. Commands where we're supposed to show mercy and kindness to evil, undeserving people. And I love that. You heard it as Brother Johnny read that section earlier. As God your Father is merciful. For the Lord shows kindness to undeserving people. So again, we're presented with more questions. It seems like we want answers to this first question, and Jesus makes us ask more questions now. Can I do that? Can I show that kind of kindness, that kind of mercy, and not expect anything in return? Can you? And so now King Jesus, MD, puts on His gardening gloves. Because now he's gonna use a picture of something that we see in nature to help us understand something about our hearts. Recently, my family started to learn the ways of that mythical creature known as the gardener. We ain't experts, let me make that clear. But we've begun to pick up a couple of things. Like we're learning to notice when it's too cold, and when it's too hot, and when it doesn't rain enough, and when it rains too much. Oh yeah, and when it's too windy. We're even learning to appreciate that magical substance known as cow manure. But have you ever noticed just how much gardening talk is in the Bible? How God in His great wisdom and His kindness uses word pictures like these to help us understand spiritual things. And here in the midst of this heart treatment, Jesus, the doctoring, gardening king, uses trees and fruit they produce to help us understand something more about the truth of our hearts and our need for Him. And so now, let's get back into the text, looking there at verse 43. And the first thing I want you to see is the picture from nature. As the tree, so the fruit. Again, the picture from nature, as the tree, so the fruit. Look with me, eyes on the text. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. The wording here for good, because we all have a different definition of good, right? The word for good here means that it's the kind of tree that produces the kind of fruit that, let's use Genesis 3 language here and just say that it's the kind of fruit that is good for food, okay? It's something that's edible. A good tree, then, does not produce the kind of fruit that would be bad for food. So every now and then, that doesn't mean that that good tree might produce, you know, well, fruit that's rotten or diseased. It can be affected by drought or by storms, by pest and by disease, but none of those things can change the nature of the tree. The nature of the tree determines the nature of its fruit. And when it produces, what it produces will be its own fruit, which is considered what? Good for food. But the opposite of that is true too. A bad tree, then, is the kind of tree that produces the kind of fruit that, biblically speaking, is not good for food. This is the case that he's giving here. Not that it produces fruit that's gone bad or been damaged. It's still a different kind of fruit. A bad tree produces the kind of fruit, the category of fruit that is unfit for eating. And what sets that, or what decides, what determines that kind of fruit, that category of fruit? The nature of the tree. So a tree can only produce its own fruit. Look with me at verse 44. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Because of that, we can look at a tree and we know exactly what kind of tree it is. By what? By the kind of fruit that it produces. He gives two examples here, right? Two of them. And to show he's basically saying, look, this is true and you can see it in your daily life. Two examples. Look there at verse 44. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. I did a little research this week, and I would love to share with you what I've found, all right? Welcome to Gardening for Dummies, all right? So, go ahead and show that next one. Anybody know what this is? These are figs. It's in the text. How cool is that, right? All right, so this is a fig. This fig grows on a fig tree. Look at that. We'll see what's the next one. That's a fig tree. All right? It's a little far away. That was not the best picture choice. Sorry about that. But again, it's appropriately called a fig tree. Why? Because it produces the kind of tree, or it's the kind of tree that produces figs. And guess what? Whether you personally like them or not, figs are good for food. Okay? Now, what if I said to myself, self? Of course, I replied, yes. I sure am hankering for a fig. Wait a minute, I know just where I can go to get that little piece of goodness. Right there. Can you imagine me digging around in that thing looking for figs? This is the point that Jesus is making. Okay? Get a little overconfident, straight away from the manuscript. Here we go. All right? The idea here, again, this thorn bush is not the kind that produces figs, the fruit that I am searching for. In that way, this is not a good tree. All right, let's look at the next one. Anybody recognize these? These are grapes, right? All different kinds of grapes, right? They grow on what?
A vine.
A vine. This is a grape vine. Why? Because this vine produces a kind of fruit known as the grape, right? And grapes are good for food. Now, no one's going to say, wow, I sure wish I had a whole mess of grapes. You know where I'm going to go to look for that thing? Thorns. Can you imagine how painful of an experience it would be digging around in a thorn, a bramble like this, looking for grapes? All right? Now, someone might even say, but Justin, wait a minute. What if I got out, you know, some tape or even my trusty stapler and stapled some grapes onto that bramble? It's a grapevine, right? No. And God help you when harvest time comes, right? No, because, again, this is not what the fruit, this is the fruit, yes, but it's not what the tree is. It's not what the vine is. My man Matthew Henry put it this way: you may, if you please, stick figs upon thorns and hang a bunch of grapes upon a bramble, but they neither are nor can be the natural product of the trees. Amen. Stapled on fruit can look and smell and even taste good, but it can't change the nature of the tree. It will continue to be what it is and will continue to produce fruit that is not good for food. Just in case, again, we really feel like Justin's being serious about this being gardening for dummies class, let's move on. So we've seen this picture from nature, right? As the tree, so the fruit. Now let's look at verse 45, and we're going to see now the point about our nature. As the heart, so the fruit. That's our point number two. The point about our nature. As the heart, so the fruit. Have you ever thought of your heart as producing fruit like a tree? Look with me at verse 45. And kids in particular, I want you to notice here, Jesus is going to repeat some words quickly to make a point. Okay? Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what? Good. Okay? Now, what is the Lord Jesus showing us? Not a tree now, but a man. And a, what kind of man, kids? A good man. Adults, you can share too. That's fine. A good man. And like me, you're probably already filling in your mind a picture of what that good man looks like. Right? Why? Because we know what we mean when we say that someone is good. But that's not the point here. As we were talking about today in our Grow class, we're talking about a standard. There is a doctrinal standard here found in God's Word. And so the question we need to ask then is, what does Jesus mean when he says that this man is good? And to help us see that, I've included there in your notes, there's a little diagram that's got two men, and there's a couple of blanks. I was going to try and have us just move through this on the slides. That is just too difficult, and I just can't do that to Toby, right? Actually, it was to save myself the hard work. So, but here, I want you to go ahead and fill it in. It's really not that hard, right? On the left side, you're going to see the word good. Good, good, good. On the right side, bad, bad, bad. Or sorry, not bad, evil. Evil, evil, evil. And so now we've got this written down. We're going to go back and we're going to understand now what exactly does that mean, okay? So, again, what does Jesus mean when he says this? Eyes on the text. The good man has what is called the good treasure of his heart. The good treasure of his heart. The heart of a person is a lot like the roots of a tree. It's buried down deep, and we can't directly see, at least, what's going on down there. But it's important, right? It defines a person, what they are and what they do. It is what makes a person good or bad. Ron Harris and Brad Beavers defined it this way, and you should see this in your notes. The human heart is the ruling and governing center which urges and moves the complex mechanism of the inner man and the outer man to respond. Okay? Clear as mud, right? Let's break down that a little bit, and we'll see this here in the text, okay? And I want you to hear this, though. It's the ruling and governing center. It is where someone or something rules, okay? But before we get too much further, we did skip a word there, didn't we? Out of the good what of his heart? The good treasure. The good treasure of his house. It literally means the treasury, the treasure box, the storehouse of his heart. The key here is what the heart is treasuring. It's what it's trusting in. God is the intended treasure of your heart and mind. In Matthew 13, Jesus is the treasure worth giving up everything else for. In Philippians 1, to live is Christ. And so as we say in Sprouts, why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. That's right. And why ought you to love God? Why ought you to glorify God? Because he made me and he takes care of me. God himself is your creator. Therefore, he is your rightful king. And if we are not ruled by him, if we're not treasuring him, rest assured, you are treasuring something. You are being ruled by something, and so am I. Okay? All right? What the heart treasures won't just be confined to the heart either. Because, just like we see in that definition from Dr. Beavers, right, the heart is designed by God to impel, to urge, and to move the inner man and the outer man. To respond. The inner man with all your thoughts, your desires, your motivations, your feelings. Your outer man with all your words and your actions. And it moves us, it impels us, it urges us to do what? To respond. We are responding to that thing which we worship. That thing that we're treasuring. And that's what Jesus is saying there in verse 45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Jesus says that like a tree, a good man brings forth, he brings out good. And because of our context, let's just go ahead and call it what it is, good fruit. Okay? And where does that good fruit come out from? It comes out from the good treasure of the good man's heart. Okay? You might even be asking, though, so again, what kind of fruit? Well, we kind of already alluded to that with the inner man and the outer man. But context comes to our rescue here. Again, Brother Johnny, thank you. Thank you for reading to us this earlier part. Really a tough part of the Sermon on the Plain, where he gives us, where Jesus is giving us really difficult commands. Let's go back and just kind of bring up a few. We're not going to go through everything. But first and foremost, think about Luke 6:31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We call that the golden rule. We know it, but how are we doing with that? Can we really say from the treasure box of our heart that we're doing unto others all the time, 100%, every day, as we would have them do unto us? Whew, getting a little uncomfortable. Let's move on, all right? So, let's see. I'll combine a few together for our purposes today. Jesus tells us to love, to do good, to bless, and pray. Oh, wait a minute. For our enemies. For those who persecute you, for those who hate you, and for those who spitefully use you. All right? Let's do another one. Offer the other cheek to the one that's already struck you. Give to those who ask and to those who have already taken from you, and don't expect to get anything back from them in return. Don't judge or condemn, but forgive. Be merciful to those that are unthankful, those that are evil. And notice again, he says to do this like God does. Like God does. Kindness and mercy to those who don't want it, don't deserve it, and won't give him anything back. Does that sound doable to you? Nah, me neither, right? But again, notice, why is Jesus say, why does he tell us that we're having this problem? What's causing this problem for us? It's not just a fruit problem. It's a heart problem. Look back with me at verse 45. Again, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. What makes the evil man evil? You'd think that it's just what he does, right? That it's just a fruit problem. If you do good, then you're called good. If you do evil, well, you're called misunderstood. Or not as evil as the other guy. Or here's 12 simple steps to clean yourself up and you'll be a good guy. You'll be a good tree. But notice, how, even though we laugh at that because we know that this is not what Jesus is saying, how do we know that this is not right? Because Jesus is telling us this. I can't see your heart. You can't see your heart. You ever notice how much your heart deceives you? That's why I get fired up when I hear something, whether it's a cartoon or something else, talk about following your heart. Because your heart lies. Even to you. But look at the kindness of Jesus here. Jesus is granting us to understand something that we can't directly see, our hearts. According to Jesus, what makes a man evil is that the treasure of his heart is something other than God. Whatever our heart treasures is what we will respond to in worship. It will define what we desire and what we live for. For example, Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees are fussing at Jesus again. Why? Because his disciples were eating grain in the middle of the field without doing what? Washing their hands. It wasn't a germ thing for the Pharisees. It was a heart thing. This action, this fruit of not washing their hands was, and then eating this food was making their hearts unclean before God. But what does that mean? What are they implying here? The Pharisees were saying, basically, they thought they were already good trees. And that just washing their hands before eating would help them stay good. Why can't you stay good like we do? Listen how Jesus responds to them in verse 18 there, Matthew 15. But those things which proceed out of the heart, which proceed out of the mouth, come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Kids, this is not a chance for you to disobey your parents when they tell you to wash your hands. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Boom. Done. We're going to sweep that under and we're going to move on, okay? We think if we just staple enough good fruit onto that bramble bush of our lives, onto the bramble bush of our hearts, that we'll either stay good, or if we do enough, we might crowd out the fruit that we're actually producing and people won't see it. But what does Jesus say here? You're already defiled. Because it's coming out of your heart. It's coming out of that ruling and governing center of your heart. The very core, the very roots of who you are. And that's what defiles you, because your heart is already unclean. But the problem is lurking way down there in the heart. It's hidden among the roots. It's what we're treasuring in our heart. And in the simultaneously good thing and bad thing for us is that it won't stay hidden. Look there in verse 45. Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the what? The abundance. the overflowing treasury of your heart. Just get close enough to that tree. Just give it time, and what the bad tree only can produce will come out. And that fruit will agree with the nature of that tree. So again, we've seen the picture in nature. We've seen the point about our nature. Now let's see the prompt. Trying to be a good Baptist this morning. Alliteration, P, 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 right there. All right, so the prompt. Look there in verse 46. Jesus says this, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Again, what did he just say? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Here is the key part of the good doctor's heart treatment for us. Jesus is making it personal here for the disciples in Luke 6 and for us here sitting today. Again, God's word is God-breathed. It is living, it is active, and it is working here and today. So this is not just Justin speaking to you. This is God himself speaking to you. Church family, visitors today, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? This, dear friend, is the Lord Jesus speaking to you right now. And hear him. What does he says? You give the example. You call me Lord, Lord. This is orthodoxy. This is a right title, a right name for us to call him by. Because what? He made everything that exists. Nothing exists that he didn't create. He owns everything that he created. And he is king. He is owner. He is master over everything that he owns. Jesus Christ deserves to be called Lord. But again, this is a fruit. And that fruit can lie. It could just be fruit that's stapled on. He says, your words, essentially he's saying, your words to me are like good fruit that's stapled on another tree. Because your fruit that you're actually producing, the thoughts you think even as you sing the songs, the motivations of your heart as to why you do this thing or that thing, the words that you speak when you walk out the doors this morning, the way that you treat your waiter or waitress at lunch, what happens to all the talk about Jesus as Lord tomorrow morning when you get up to go to work, and then all the rest of the week? This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Because here's the problem. You can do all kinds of good things. You can be deeply involved in a church. You can read the Bible. You can pray, evangelize, lead your family, teach a Sunday school class, lead a ministry, pastor a church, plant a church here, there, on the other side of the planet, all while treasuring a God replacement rather than God himself. Do you see how dangerous this is? And do you see the kindness, the mercy of the Lord Jesus, that doctoring, gardening king, to bring us to this very question today, here and now? Because all cards on the table, Pastor Brock read us Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Friends, there's only one good man. There's only one good tree that's planted by streams of water. Matter of fact, he is the tree and he's the stream of water. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. According to the Father's good plan, only Jesus was miraculously born, unstained by Adam's fall, with a good heart. Only Jesus treasured with that good heart, treasured his Father alone every single moment of his life on earth. Only Jesus brought forth nothing but good fruit from that heart every single moment of his life, in his thoughts, in his words, and in his actions, in every single bit of it, 100%, all the time, every day, until the very moment that he died. Jesus alone did that. He kept the law that we could not keep. And Sprouts, I've been dropping this for like the last year. We're going to talk about this very phrase next year. And this is, what has Jesus done for us in the new covenant? He kept the law that we could not keep in our place. And he suffered the punishment that our sins deserved. We're going there, Sprouts. I can't wait. But he didn't stay dead. Jesus alone rose. He is risen, and he is reigning, and he will return. At which point, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, to borrow from Romans 12, we couldn't get out of here without talking about Romans 12 today. You know that, right? Is there hypocrisy in your love today? Hypocrisy in our love would be like stapling fruit onto a tree. So again, why do you call him Lord, Lord? Why do I call him Lord, Lord and not do the things which he says? And I just want to submit two possibilities to you as to why. One, it's because you're a bad tree. I don't say that with delight. I say that with a broken heart. That you're a bad tree. You can staple good fruit on those thorns, but it won't produce good fruit. The tree of your heart won't produce good fruit because you have a sinful heart that can only treasure a God replacement of some kind. And what does the Bible call it when you treasure something else other than Jesus? Idolatry. It's idolatry. It's the sin of idolatry. This is a sinful nature that we've inherited from our first father, Adam. And as we say in Sprouts, can you go to heaven with this sinful nature? Kids? No. My heart must be changed before I can go to heaven. Right? How do you know that's true? John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And friend, if that's you, there is hope for you today. Because hear the words of Christ himself. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Believe the gospel. Turn from treasuring other things to God. Treasure him instead by trusting yourself in Jesus Christ alone. And he'll make you a new tree. He'll give you a new heart that will produce good fruit to the praise of his glory. Okay, so that's one possibility. Another possibility is this, that you've been made a new tree in Christ, to which we say, amen. Praise God for that, right? So you've been made a new tree in Christ, but you still see bad fruit sometimes. First of all, should that surprise us? Should it surprise us that being made a new tree, that we still produce bad fruit sometimes? Well, God has declared you righteous in Christ. And now, you are now being made personally righteous. He is, day by day, the rest of your life, changing your heart little by little so that you look, your heart looks less and less personally like you. And it looks more and more like God's beloved Son. And based on the description that we see of what he did, right, the good tree from the good treasure of his heart that produced good every single moment of his life, I want that. I want, but not just so that people will look at me and say, oh, wow, what a great tree. But that the praise would resound to God's glory. And so, again, I want you to hear this. This is not to shame you. I hope you don't hear it that way, because honestly, this is normal Christian life. Again, we're in the midst of this work of sanctification, where we are working hard, but yes, we're working while trusting in Jesus. This is every day for the rest of your life until Jesus comes back, or until we go home to be with Him. So, for example, somebody would say, well, Justin, I'm trusting in Jesus, but I'm not treasuring him as much as I should. Should I just work harder then and treasure him more? No. Which feels so weird even for me to say it. But let me explain why. Because the scriptures are clear. We're always treasuring something, right? We're always trusting in something. And if our new hearts are producing bad fruit, again, can be affected by things, right? It's because our new hearts are treasuring something not in place of Christ, but now we're trusting temporarily in something alongside Christ. Now, friends, what does the Bible call it when we trust in something alongside Christ? We've used this word before. It starts with an I, ends with idolatry. It's idolatry. It's still the sin of idolatry, which needs to be repented of. So then what's the key? Try harder? Just read my Bible more? No. Repent of your idolatry and find out, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I'm trusting in? What is it that I'm treasuring? So that I can repent of it and now, trusting in Jesus for His glory and not my own, I read the Bible more. Does that make sense? Okay, good. If you don't understand that, if I didn't make that clear, you come down and you ask me because I want to make that clear to you. This is Bible. I'm not trying to preach anything that Jesus doesn't say here. All right. So idolatry is a root infection. And infected roots can only produce bad fruit that must be put to death in your heart by repentance and faith in Christ alone. Does God want to be, now hear me, this is the last point in your notes. Does God want to be the one you're treasured, that you treasure most? No. God does not want to be the one that you treasure most. He wants to be the one you treasure alone. Christ alone. Jesus plus anything else is idolatry. It's Jesus alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And again, this isn't to shame you. This is the normal Christian life. This is sanctification. We've already talked about people, how people want good fruit. This is what the example that Jesus alludes to. People want good fruit. They want it to such a degree they go and search for it. So naturally, we want our fruit to look good, even stapling fruit on in hypocrisy. Why? So we can fool other people. So we can fool ourselves. Maybe so we can even fool God. But God isn't fooled. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're treasuring. So, are you treasuring Christ alone? It's not just working harder, which is really fruit stapling. It's seeking the Lord's help in identifying what you're treasuring and repenting of it if it's not Christ alone. One more example. Is going to church good fruit? Well, what does the scripture say? The goodness or the badness of the fruit isn't determined by the fruit itself. It's determined by the treasury of the heart. It's determined by the heart that it's coming from. So is the fruit coming out of a heart that is treasuring Christ and loving Him, then it's good fruit. But if it's coming out of a heart that's treasuring the praise of men or treasuring my own righteousness, my own religious activity, well, I'm a good guy because I go to church. Then it's not good fruit. It's bad fruit. That will be what determines whether it's good or bad, whether it comes from a heart that desires Christ above all things or whether it's desiring self, even in addition to Christ. Remember, God sees our hearts, and He is the only rightful treasure of our hearts. He is the treasure worth giving up everything else for. So today, we need God to sift our hearts, to reveal what we're treasuring, so that He alone would be our treasure. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You. I thank You for a simple text that hit us with a really hard message. Father, we thank You that You help us to see with clarity what the condition of our heart is. Lord, we need You to continue to apply Your living and active, Your good and righteous word to our hearts. Not just so that we can, just so we can produce better fruit, but Father, that You would be our all in all. That the praise of Your glory would be the desire of our hearts. And not just in the midst of a whole host of other gods, but that You would reign alone. Lord, I ask You to do something that I can't do. I can talk about Your word for a while, but Lord, I can't change anybody's heart. Lord, You must do it, You alone. And so, Lord, for each one in the sound of my voice today, I beg You, Father, whether it's a bad tree that needs to trust in Christ for salvation, or it's one who's been made a good tree in Christ, but is still in the war against sin, has a root infection and is producing bad fruit. Father, would You bring much clarity and encouragement and comfort, even rebuke? Lord, that our hearts would be clean, and that they would desire Christ above all things, and that this world would see in us the God who does all things well. That they would see how beautiful Your gospel is. That they would see their need for Christ, and that this gospel would radiate out to the ends of the earth for Your glory and for the good of Your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand now. Let's sing this song of response.